Well, James Richardson, thanks very much for joining us on the LS11 podcast. You're coming up to Leeds on Monday, April 15th. It's a totally football show. For anybody that hasn't downloaded it or listened to it, which I can't believe that's that many people now, to explain exactly what you guys do.
Well, we're a podcast talking about any football that's worth talking about, I guess. We have a pretty broad church in terms of who listens to it. A lot of the talks about the Premier League, we touch on the Championship. We've obviously been talking about Leeds with the season they've been having with the managers, with the manager they have. And we basically, we're a group of people sitting around trying to find interesting things to say about football, maybe beyond the stuff that's already been said by the time we get into the studio on a Monday and a Thursday.
It's a great podcast. I'm intrigued as well because I'm a big fan of podcasts and we produce a lot of podcasts itself. What was it about podcasts initially that sort of attracted you?
Well, I first started in 2006, and at the time I wasn't particularly attracted to it at all. I thought it was a terrible idea. I basically hadn't really understood what the podcast was going to be. It sounded like a radio show that was going to sit on a computer and maybe people would listen to it or not. Obviously, things have moved on a little bit since then, but that's what happened. I mean, in 2006, The Guardian decided to do a daily report on the World Cup in Germany, and that's where I began podcasting. But it's been a delight because it's such a brilliant thing to work in. It's very easy to do. I mean, as long as you've got a studio somewhere, then you can put a podcast together. You can compete with the best produced podcasts, you know, pretty much with a fairly minimal budget. You can pick whatever topic you want. You can really explore areas that wouldn't get an airing otherwise. And also, I think most podcast listeners tend to come to it with a much more forgiving attitude than say you would if you were listening to an actual proper radio show or a proper TV show. I think people are just expected to be more informal, a bit more relaxed, and it's more of a community feel to it almost.
Yeah, I mean, we certainly find that because there is all that community, and certainly coming from Leeds United, and I think Leeds United and their fans sort of like took to Twitter quite early on, and I think from a social media point of view, it seems to have sort of gone across into podcasts. There must be five or six different Leeds United podcasts out there. Obviously, ours is the best, but there's obviously a fair few out there.
I think social media and podcasting is part of this, but Twitter and everything. If you're following a club where you've got an opinion you want to voice, and maybe you're feeling a little bit frustrated by what things are happening kind of officially with the club, I can understand how with some of the recent things that Leeds have been through, that people are just desperate to find like-minded people, you know, with whom they can say, look, what on earth's going on here?
Let's talk a bit of Leeds, because I wanted to know, and one of my friends is a big fan of yourself and also of Leeds United. He wanted to know, because obviously of your time in Italy and covering Italian football for such a long time, your thoughts on one of the previous owners of the club, which was Massimo Cellino, because there was a character. Well, I think probably that he was a character, wasn't he?
He certainly is a character, and he'd had a checkered time of it in Italy, where even amongst their colourful collection of owners, he stood out as being one of the more bizarre. And his decision to get into English football was a very curious one. I think he was tremendously excited by the potential compared to his previous club, Cagliari, who were a little bit in the doldrums, and there's not really much economically and in terms of the city that they're based in that he could hope to do with them. I think he thought Leeds was going to be a massive springboard, but it's funny actually. A lot of the antics that he got up to here were much better publicised than similar things that he'd done in Italy, because I think the English press, whilst not being by any means a perfect body, they are pretty good at winkling out the weird stuff. You know, whether it's players not being signed because they were born on the 17th or whatever, that kind of stuff tends to come out here, whereas in Italy they're maybe a little bit politer in their coverage. I don't think he's a great loss to Italian football, put it that way, and I'm sure people won't particularly miss him at Elland Road.
No, I doubt they would. Did you have any run-ins with him yourself?
Well, I met him at
the Canary Training Ground. I'm trying to think what the name of the place is many years ago when he was. I mean, to be fair to him, he did a decent job of making of keeping Callery in the top flight in Italy, and even giving them a couple of runs at European places. He had some interesting signings. He had a very good relationship with one of the kind of big Uruguayan player agents back in the 90s who would bring over all sorts of interesting players before the big clubs kind of noticed them. He brought Trapattoni to Cagliari for a while. Of course, got rid of him soon afterwards, because that was the other thing about Chile. He would perpetually be firing managers. He also had this bizarre thing, which probably Leeds supporters will have heard of. When he got into a dispute with the local council over the use of the stadium, he basically just decided to hold his home games in literally the furthest point away from Cagliari but within the Italian confines. So he went to Trieste, basically, which is ludicrous. But he's a particularly strange man. But I met him, as I say, in Cagliari. He was pleasant enough. I didn't get fired, but a big character. Let's say that.
Certainly a big character. Coming on to Leeds right now, and Marcelo Bielsa obviously had a bit of history, very short history, really, in Italian football with Lazio. But there was a lot of eyebrows raised when Marcelo Bielsa took over at Leeds United at the beginning of the season. Yeah. Not many, to be honest with you, not many people, including myself, had heard anything about him. But he's become like a breath of fresh air here. He's almost at legendary status already.
He's clearly a really exciting manager. The main kind of knock with him from his time at Athletic Bilbao, where a lot of people first really registered him, was the notion that because of the intensity of his football, that his teams tend to burn out. And that certainly happened with Bilbao. More recently, you mentioned the couple of days he had with Lazio, where I think he maybe came out of that. I think it's maybe slightly unfair, the version of events that Lazio projected. It seems like that there were promises about investment that weren't maintained, which I can well believe from the way Lazio behaved. So it possibly, and it's much better news for him and for Leeds that he went to Leeds, because it seems like something really solid is being built there. Really, really excited to see if they can come straight up with the automatic promotion at the end of the season. It would be amazing to watch him at work, particularly given the success of, say, Wolves, to see, if they can be another club coming up and making a real go of it in the Premier League. But Bielsa, it's not always worked for him. It certainly didn't even get started at Lazio. Marseille was a pretty tumultuous time as well. There were some great times and some bad times. But I'm delighted at how well it's gone. And I'm surprised. I must admit, I was one of those people thinking, how well is this going to work out in the English Championship with Marcelo Bielsa?
Yeah, I think it's certainly been an eventful season. There's no doubt about that. I think Leeds fans are just, I think they're pinching themselves, really, to feel, where they are in the league at the moment. And it's still, within their grasp, really, for the end of this season. One of the players that's moved over to Italy, Sampdoria, Ronaldo Vieira. What are your thoughts on how he's getting on over there?
Ooh, that's a very good question, which I'm utterly unprepared to answer, actually.
I put you on the spot there, James. I'm terrified.
Yeah, I don't know. How is he getting on?
I think he's doing okay, I think, really. It'd be interesting to find out a little bit, because I think there's still a lot of love for Ronaldo Vieira over here. So it'd be interesting to see.
Tomorrow I'm going to ask somebody who keeps a close eye on Sampdoria, James Horncastle, who has a soft spot for Leeds, and will be joining me we do a weekly Italian football podcast, Golazzo. So I'll see what his thoughts are.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be interesting. I just want to take you back to Italian football on Channel 4, because that's, I think, where most people first noticed you and first saw you, with your cappuccino and maybe a pastry on a Saturday morning previewing the last week's football and then the Sunday afternoon games. How did that all come about? And because it became just a cult viewing thing, really, didn't it?
Well, it was an interesting time. Football was a bit different back then, in that Italy was the preeminent place for footballers to go. All the best in the world were there. And the teams were dominating European competition. And when Paul Gascoigne, who was the best player that this country produced in a long time, had this move out there, and particularly when his return to football after 18 months of injury was going to be in Italy, it prompted Channel 4 to buy the rights. And all of a sudden, the production company, who decided they wanted to make a kind of magazine show, a review show, review preview show, realized they needed to have somebody who could go out to Italy and spoke a bit of Italian and maybe do some reports and stuff. And that turned out to be me. I mean, I did say to them that I really didn't know much about football, but they were very happy to send me out all the same. So that's how it all happened, basically. I spoke Italian and they didn't have much time or money.
Because are you sort of first and foremost, I mean, I've done some research on Wikipedia. First and foremost, a Roma fan, is that right?
That's right, yeah. I was
already kind of going to and fro from Italy before the show started, and had adopted Roma as my team. There was some background there, but I think it was the fact that I actually spoke Italian and had was quite happy to go to Italy, which, you know, was a major sacrifice on my part. that's what led to me landing that particular job, which turned out to be, you know, quite a useful thing to do, as it turned out.
No doubt about that. I was at a wedding on Saturday, and one of the guests at the wedding, a chap by the name of Neil Middleton, when I told him that I was hopefully going to be chatting to you at some point this week, I don't think I've seen more jealousy in a man's eyes than when I told him I was going to be speaking to James Richardson. And he actually turned around to me and he said, during the early 90s, I wanted him to be my dad.
Wow. Yeah, that's interesting. I was very young during the early 90s. I mean, we all were, but yeah, I was quite young when I started that show. I think it was about 26 when it started. So,
wow.
But I mean, old enough to father a child. But
yeah. Well, yeah, maybe now. Yeah. You never know. You never know. Could have been him. Obviously, it's Monday, April 15th for the Totally Football Show. Yes. City Varieties podcast. Sorry, City Varieties Hall, it's on at. Tickets still available, I think. There's only a few left, though, I think, James. So people better hurry up to get these.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it should be a fun evening. Clearly, I don't know much about football, but other people do, and they will be there. And they'll be answering my questions, and more importantly, the questions of anybody who comes along, because as much as possible, we like to kind of base our conversation, base our evening around what people want to talk about. So we'll be exploring
a lot of things together.
It'll be Brexit, James. You'll be numbed by Brexit by that point, probably.
Who knows where we'll be by April the 15th.
It could be a very interesting time, there's no doubt about that. James, thank you so much for your time. Thanks for joining us on the LSLM podcast. Cheers.
Thank you.